Chapter 20.
I don't like it, Molly said, scowling. You sure you don't want me to go in there with you? He's got people.
Definitely not, I said, calmly. I don't want you showing up on his radar.
I'd like to see him try something, Molly said, clenching one hand into a fist and thumping the Blue Beetle's steering wheel for emphasis. I'd eat him for breakfast.
No, Molly, I said in a firm tone of voice. You wouldn't. Marcone might be vanilla mortal, but he's dangerous. Most men have limits. He doesn't. Never forget that.
If he's so dangerous, why are you talking to him?
Because he also has rules, I said. And besides, I just had to see him here. Keep your eyes open for a third party interfering. I'll worry about Marcone, okay?
Okay, Molly said, nodding, her eyes intent.
In a spectacular bid for the Do As I Say, Not As I Do award, she took a long pull from an energy drink in a can the size of a milk carton.
Okay.
I got out of the Blue Beetle and walked into my meeting with Gentleman Johnny Marcone, the undisputed gang lord of Chicago. Burger King had just opened its dining area, but it was already half full. I ignored Marcone upon coming in and got in line. A sausage biscuit and cup of coffee later, I went to the back corner where Marcone sat and his retinue stood. Hendrix was there, of course, in an extra-large suit and a red-haired buzz cut. Maybe he'd been working out, because he looked like he'd put on a few more pounds. If he got any bigger, he'd need a building permit. Miss Guard stood a little apart from Hendrix, covering the angles the big man couldn't. She was just as blonde and athletic and Amazonian as ever, her suit and tie muting her curves without reducing her appeal. Marcone sat in the booth as if at a boardroom table. He wore a silk suit, probably worth more than my car, and sat with his elbows on the table, his fingertips pressed together into a steeple. He looked like a man in his mature prime, neat and precise from his haircut to his polished leather shoes. He watched me come over to the table and slide my plastic tray into place before me. I dumped 4 or 5 packets of sugar into my coffee and stirred it with the little stick. You're not eating? He looked at his watch and then at me. He had pale green eyes the color of old bills, but less personal. His stare was unsettling, and he met my eyes without concern. We had already taken the measure of each other's souls. It was why I knew precisely how dangerous the man sitting across the table from me could be, and why I insisted upon treating him in as cavalier a fashion as possible. One doesn't show dangerous predators weakness or fear. It makes them hungry. I savored a bite of the biscuit, which was only a reminder of how good a real homemade biscuit and sausage was, but for the sake of my audience, I made sounds of enjoyment as I chewed and swallowed.
You sure? I slurped some more coffee. You're missing out on ambrosia here.
Dresden, Marcone said, this is aggravating, even for you.
Yeah, I said, smiling, and took another bite of sausage. Hendrix made a growling sound. I finished chewing and said,
you sure about that, big guy?
Hendrix, Marcone said.
Hendrix subsided. I nodded. Then I said, you have information I want.
Undoubtedly, Marcone said. What information are you after, and what do you offer for it?
I'm not here to trade baseball cards with you, Marcone, I said.
And I'm not a charity organization, Dresden, he replied. I take it that this has something to do with your office building exploding.
He shook his head in a gesture of faint regret.
Right, I said. You're all broken up over the destruction.
I didn't order it. I made no money on it. I failed to profit financially or politically from its destruction, and you survived. It was a complete waste.
Hendrix made another growling sound that might have been gorilla for a laugh.
Maybe it's got something to do with the building. How much do you know about its owners?
Marcone's smile was a wintry thing.
That they are part of the organization whose servitors have been attempting to intrude upon my business.
I lifted an eyebrow.
Someone's muscling in on your territory?
Briefly, Marcone said, but incessantly.
then we might have a common problem. Marcone looked at me as though I were a rather slow child.
Yes, hence this meeting.
I grunted and finished the biscuit. The Red Court is on the move. Trouble is being stirred up between them and the council. My interest in the matter is an 8-year-old girl. The Reds took her from her home. I believe that they're holding her somewhere in Mexico. I need to know where.